College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It's Kale and Company as we continue. Hopefully, all of you having a great start to your work week. Monday here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, 855-839-1210 is how you jump aboard at 1210 WPHT on social media. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app and watch us live on YouTube. If you can't get us, you're not trying. All right, coming up, 920, our morning mystery movie clip, and then Dawn's Big Three right after. Stocker still has 49 cuts left on his cut sheet. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. And we will also get to some of the names, the new names, that have been floated out in the last 72 hours to be Trump's vice president. Those are really the three things that we're watching here as we come down the stretch, about 7.5, 8 months to go. Obviously, the legal proceedings with Trump, who Trump will select to be vice president, and will we get debates between Trump and Joe Biden? Those are the next shoes to drop and dominoes to fall. But I do want to get to this. I try to be fair from the standpoint of if the usual suspects that carry the water for Biden decide to go in and ridicule him, tell him not to run, or fact check him, I do like to bring that to the attention of the people. And I thought it was interesting, the New York Times on Friday. Now, I don't know if they were doing this in real time or if this was the day after. But nonetheless, they did fact check Joe 6 times when it comes to his claims on the economy. And I thought it was worth mentioning these. So I will give you Joe Biden's quote, and forgive me because quoting Biden on the radio and reading back the transcript of what he says is an exercise all to itself. So, and then I will give you what the actual truth is that the New York Times fact checked. So, economic wild claim number one of Joe Biden from Thursday night. Quote, 15 million new jobs in just 3 years, a record. That was the claim that Joe Biden made. The Times ruled that the claim needed context because the job gains were, quote, beginning to return before Biden came to office under Donald Trump from the huge losses that were taken away during the pandemic. That is something I mentioned on Friday's show. You can't claim to create new jobs if these new jobs are not really new and they are just going back. So Company X eliminates 100 jobs during the pandemic, and then they come back and reinstall 80 of those jobs post-pandemic. Well, you don't get to claim those are new jobs. That's just going back to the status quo. That's fact check number one on Biden's economy. Number two, quote, my policies have attracted $650 billion in private sector investment in clean energy, advanced manufacturing, creating tens of thousands of jobs here in America. The fact check from the New York Times, quote, the Times ruled Biden's statement lacked context again, and Biden calculated $650 billion based on public announcements of investments, not necessarily dollars spent across industries targeted by Mr. Biden's legislative accomplishments. Quote, number three, fact check number three, quote, I am cutting our carbon emissions in half by 2030. The Times determined that Biden's statement lacked context and Biden confused his goal of cutting emissions in half with what his actual policies would cut. That's number three. Number four of the six, quote, we've already cut the federal deficit over $1 trillion. The Times ruled that Mr. Biden's claim needed context again. Under Biden's watch, the federal deficit dropped to $1.4 trillion in fiscal year 22 from $3.1 trillion in fiscal year 21. But much of that reduction was attributed to the expiration of coronavirus relief spending. So that was coming to a close, whether Joe wants to believe it or not, or acknowledge it. The deficit rose in 2023 to about $1.7 trillion. Number five of the six, quote, you know, there are 1,000 billionaires in America. You know what the average federal tax is for these billionaires? They are making great sacrifices, 8.2%. That's far less than the vast majority of Americans pay. The Times reported that Biden's claim did not technically reflect the current tax rate. And then lastly, and I think this is the one that I give them the most credit for, because Republicans get a bad name for this, and especially Trump, because Trump never said this, and I think many of you know this. Biden, quote, "Many of my friends on the other side of the aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block." In actuality, Republicans are not calling for the cutting of Social Security, the Times said. In fact, the New York Times goes on to say, former President Donald Trump, in fact, said in 2022 that he would never cut Social Security. So I would just wonder, as Joe was spouting off about all of his bogus claims on the economy during the State of the Union, did MSNBC and Executive Director Rachel Maddow decide to roll out the gatekeepers of journalistic integrity and truth?
It's a great point.
And would they step in and dump out of Joe's speech because we're not going to air falsehoods?
We can't air lies!
We can't do it. Well, there you go. Thought that was worth sharing with the audience because, again, despite what Joe claims about the economy, people aren't feeling it. 855-839-1210. All right, so I do want to get to this here in the next 7 or 8 minutes with the vice president. So we have been talking about this for a while. We've had many conversations on this show. We've talked about Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott, Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We've talked about a lot of the primary challengers that slowly dropped out, most notably Vivek and Tim Scott. They have been on Trump's side. They've endorsed him. They've been at rallies. They've been at gatherings. But I thought this was interesting. This news came out on Saturday leading up to Trump's rally in Rome, Georgia. According to multiple reports, former President Donald Trump is narrowing his choices for a running mate, and he is focused on 3 young U.S. senators, according to a GOP strategist with close ties to the Trump campaign. And those 3 are Senators Katie Britt of Alabama, J.D. Vance of Ohio, and Marco Rubio of Florida. Those are apparently his top 3 choices, according to
Marco Rubio?
Multiple sources. Yeah. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I have said from the, okay, if you're going to play identity politics, what demographic do you need to hit most based on what polling numbers indicate? And I have said it would make sense in my world, female number 1, and then I would go African-American male 2, and then I would go white male 3. I've ruled out the white. I don't believe it will be a white male. You're not going to see another Mike Pence. And I'm not saying evangelical Christian. You're just not going to see a white male. So who makes the most sense? Is it somebody from the Hispanic community, the black community, or a female? Now, polling-wise, Trump's doing the best of those 3 with Hispanics, followed probably by the black voter. He's getting about 22% or so, according to the polls. But we know that females are the biggest issue for Trump. So would a female VP make sense the most? If we're looking at these 3, I got to tell you, I'm not enamored with any of these 3. I'm not enamored with Katie Britt. I think you could do far better. I don't know that she's ready.
No,
I just don't. It doesn't feel right to me, right?
Zero
and
chance.
It has nothing to do with the rebuttal. It has nothing to do with Scarlett Johansson. I get it. You want to go young Trump. That's fine. She doesn't feel like the fit for me. J.D. Vance is somebody who I like possibly to replace Mitch McConnell. And I like J.D. Vance a lot. The Republican from Ohio doesn't feel like a legit fit for me. And I would say, look, Marco Rubio has been very successful. He was a part of the only red wave that really transpired in Florida, obviously Hispanic. I was also reading he's a little bit more, he slides a little bit more moderate. He is a conservative, but he's not as far right as some.
They would, the MAGA base would not be happy with
I don't
Marco
think,
yeah, Rubio. No.
You know what Marco Rubio...
It doesn't matter for the MAGA base. That's not who they're trying to appeal
that's
to.
That's
they're trying
a great
to
point.
Appeal to the huge numbers of the Hispanic vote, and on one hand, you know, the Biden administration is trying to say right now, oh, Trump is going to deport all of you, why would you vote for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a Spanish speaking, and I understand he's a Cuban American, but still, if you have somebody with the name Marco Rubio and he's going into communities and he's campaigning in communities and he's speaking fluent Spanish, which of course he does, that goes a long way. That mitigates all of the Biden, talking points that, oh, they're going to do this and that and the other. Because Marco Rubio can, with credibility, walk into any, campaign event speaking Spanish and talk about the fact that Trump wants to get out, especially those individuals who are in our community, meaning Marco Rubio, Hispanic community, that they're in our community and they are wolves in sheep's cloth and we need to get them out. But he can speak to that and say that Donald J. Trump wants to improve the economy. He has the family values that match yours, et cetera. So I think that's why we've continued to hear Rubio's name on and off.
It doesn't feel like a fit to me, and I'm not comparing the two directly. But when I think of Marco Rubio, I go back to 2016. I don't think you go the route of anybody from 2016, whether it's Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. To me, and you nailed it, you're not trying to appeal to the MAGA base here. You're trying to win over other people that are already not in the camp or who are undecided. And I want to loop it because everything comes full circle on the show. I want to go back to Laura Trump and Whatley from North Carolina. Now, you can sit here and say maybe RNC doesn't matter, but to me, you select the North Carolina GOP chair, who is very much well-liked by the MAGA base. I don't think you need to go down that road. And maybe we should have the conversation now. Do you think Trump is going to make the same mistakes in the selection process of personnel that he might have made in 2020? Not saying that any of these people that I just mentioned are never Trumpers. They're clearly not. But I really do believe that Trump selecting the right vice president could be the difference. And people can sit there and say the Veep doesn't matter. But we've never seen an election this close. I am steadfast in the belief that if Joe Biden beat Trump in 2020 by 44,000 total votes, that number is going to be significantly smaller this time around. So if you find the right female, and she's young, as this report says, you're looking for three young U.S. senators. Now, I don't know that Katie Britt's the right option, but you got to be able to find the person that can deliver the right tone, the right message, especially if you're going female on the abortion issue, post Roe v. Wade. I don't know that Katie Britt's necessarily that answer, but I do think you could get this wrong. And if you pick the wrong person, whether it's how far conservative they are, how far right they are, what their stance is on pro-choice versus pro-life, and also, by the way, as well, I really do think you have to go the opposite personality. You can't select a mini-me Trump, which is why Vivek is not going. I know MAGA loves Vivek, and I love him too. But the reality is you don't want another very braggadocious. You want somebody the opposite. In a weird way, you do want somebody like Mike Pence, a low-key, well-spoken guy. I don't need Trump 2.0 or Trump Lite. I need somebody else out there that can maybe swing some people in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Wisconsin, in North Carolina, in Arizona. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about 4 to 6 states, and two of those states were decided by 10,000 votes or less in Georgia and Arizona. And then, of course, Michigan, obviously, and Pennsylvania. So I saw these names floated out over the weekend, and I'm like, if he goes with Britt, I think it's the wrong choice. If he goes Vance, I think that's wrong. If he goes Rubio, I think that's wrong. Heck, I'd go Byron Donalds before I'd go any of these three. You want to talk about three young politicians. And by the way, and I'm not saying a 52-year-old is old, but Marco Rubio is 52 years old. Byron Donalds, I think, is what, 38, 39 years old? So if you really want to go down the younger demo, and oh, by the way, I think Byron Donalds brings you more to the table from Florida than Marco Rubio does, merely by the identity politics game. So I thought that was interesting. I would say I still like the first batch of names we've rolled out better. I like Kristi Noem better. I like Tulsi Gabbard better. I like Tim Scott better. This younger crop of names that were in this report from the weekend, I'm not enamored with any of those three, to be completely honest. For vice president, I like them, but not in that role. And I think the fit really does matter for certain positions. And I don't think these three would be the ideal choice. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll get to the Morning Mystery Movie clip in about 5 minutes' time, and then Dawn's Big Three. Stay tuned. It's Kale and Company live here on a Monday morning. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
It's amazing this time of year to look out. My lawn is already greening up, thinking about spring, some of those crocuses coming up. The daffodils are starting to come up. And we're all thinking about getting outside, enjoying the outdoors, and certainly the lawn. When choosing a lawn care service, it should make sense to hire a company that would provide better results, of course, to make your lawn lush and beautiful, but at the same time, safer for your family and for your pets, too. And this is why I choose Natural Lawn of America. I think the only choice, the clear choice, this is my lawn care company, because Natural Lawn's environmentally friendly approach to lawn care has been creating green, lush lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds since 1987. Now, unlike other one-size-fits-all companies, their technicians are going to work with you to determine the specific needs of your own lawn. Natural Lawn's exclusive organic-based products are designed to work with nature, not against it. What does that mean? It means that they're safer for every single member of your family. So kids, grandkids, you, but also your furriest family members. I'm talking about, for us, it's my buddy boy. He's turning 15 this summer, and he's so healthy. We want to make sure that lawn is healthy for everybody. Kick the chemical lawn habit. Get started today with Natural Lawn safer products and programs. Take advantage of their limited time offer here. Free seeding every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. You get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED. 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 Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. What's on the cut sheet part due in a matter of minutes, as well as Dawn's Big Three. But right now, shortly after 9:20, it's time for the first Morning Mystery Movie Clip of the week.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You gotta be kidding me.
Wow.
You realize how many people have read this? I'm up to 2,000 followers since last night.
You're trending, bro.
They're sending me messages. They're goading me into responding.
Don't do that. Don't do it, man. Don't respond. Don't do it. Take the high road. Respond.
I know, but half the people are saying he's right.
Yeah, but half the people are saying he's wrong. That's the internet, bro.
That's right. Listen to him.
That's social media. You on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm Twitter.
What's your name?
Little Marty. But all the people following me are people I don't even want to hang out during the day. I avoid all... Hey, what are you doing? Don't do it. What are you writing?
Chef, don't. That's not a good idea.
Just listen. I won't send it until we all say it's okay. Why don't you come by again tonight? I got a whole new menu just for you, ass.
No,
that's not good.
Give me the phone. Give me the phone.
Don't do it.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
And today we have a pair of tickets to the 8th annual Bucks Blues Explosion on April 5th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. For tickets and more information, visit bucks.edu/tickets. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. And we will have a pair of those movie passes all week long here on Kale and Company. All right, good luck for that. And right now, we get to Dawn Stenzelin's Big Three at 9.
It's the Big Three at 9 on Kale and Company.
Big Three at 9 on this windy Monday morning. Pope under fire. Yeah, Ukrainian and allied officials ripping into Pope Francis for suggesting that Ukraine should have the, quote, courage to negotiate an end to the war with Russia, a statement which included waving the white flag. This has infuriated those in Ukraine and worldwide, as many have said. They're very critical of the Pope's remarks last night. So this was in an interview that had been recorded with a Swiss broadcaster, and the phrase, the courage of the white flag, as the Pope argued that Ukraine facing possible defeat should be open to peace talks brokered by international powers.
So how much longer until Joe dumps another handful of billions of dollars to Zelensky? I feel like we're due for a money drop, aren't we?
Yeah, well, they're dropping the Pope right now. He's getting ripped on social media.
Can social media cancel the Pope? Can the Pope be canceled?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But they're certainly trying. It's not a popular thing to say. We have a lot of economic news this week ahead of the Fed meeting and expectations of the Fed talking rates. And as well, remember tomorrow, Georgia primary TikTok as we count that. But oil prices ticking lower today, extending losses from last week as traders await for that new round of inflation data. U.S. crude and the global benchmark falling 2.45% and 1.76% respectively last week. So traders are waiting for the consumer and producer price indices, which will be released tomorrow and then Thursday, for these additional signs that we've been talking a lot about. It's all about the economy, of when the Federal Reserve might be able to cut those interest rates. At this time, it looks like June. So watching that one, and as well other data, Americans are experiencing some of the worst economic numbers in more than a decade. Newly released stats showing the latest layoff announcements, wave after wave of layoffs, hitting their highest levels since the global financial crisis. That this was dating, if you look, February of 2009 until last month. And this according to outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. So nearly 85,000 layoffs last month.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at the increases that happened in January. These are year-to-year numbers. And so for the year, companies listed nearly 167,000 job cuts.
Wow.
Overall. So when we talk about the inflation numbers, Bidenomics, these are real numbers. They're hard numbers. Now, I will say, as they talk about these high-profile layoffs, and we know the tech companies, banking, other industries such as industrial goods, manufacturing, energy, education, these are all the job cuts, the main ones. I will say this as I look through the unemployment numbers. It seems to be short-lived. Workers are able to find new positions because, of course, we have a lot of open positions. So that's the piece of this, that people are finding the new work, but it's tough when you have a layoff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're talking about that. Number three, I'll go to a lighter note. I mean, in Philadelphia at Temple, for example, locally Temple grad and Philadelphia native, Divine Joy Randolph, you know, winning this major Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in her Holdovers appearance, which I thought she was fabulous in. I mean, she steals everything she's in. Very exciting at last night's Oscars.
Temple was due for some good news.
Yeah. And I think it was cool. The students and staff, they were holding these watch parties and had a lot of fun. I thought that was great that they were celebrating
good.
At Temple. Much like our own Nicholas Cale, Temple grad.
Yeah, I'm not really proud of my alma mater at this point in time, but you know.
it was cool. It was exciting for students to see somebody who graduated from, you know, from their university,
yeah,
to be on the main stage like that.
There's also some allegations going around, and it's all allegations and speculation, that there might be something going on with the basketball program that's not on the up and up from a competitive standpoint,
Yeah, I saw the
get the hint.
I saw the news stories.
Yeah,
there
alleged point shaving.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not a good look.
It doesn't look like FanDuel is allowing action on Temple. I mean, I don't. Are they playing now? I mean, because we air them on this radio station.
Yeah, but you should be able to tell us when they're next scheduled to preempt somebody.
Yeah.
So I guess they're being flagged and monitored.
Yeah.
That's the. What they're saying.
Yeah, it's always a red flag, like when somebody that normally doesn't have a lot of betting action, all of a sudden a lot of big money comes in on a team where the sports outlets don't receive a lot of bets on those teams. And they're like, what is this person
do? Phil just said Wednesday at 3 is the next game, which means they're going to preempt Scioli.
Oh!
He's going to love that.
Oh!
So this is Temple men's basketball.
Yep.
See, I was trying to give some Temple good news.
Nick had to bring it down.
I threw cold water on it like I'm some Villanova guy or something.
Nick had to bring it down. Hideous. So
they might be shaving the naked man at the Oscars.
Yeah,
he might be shaving other things.
There you go.
That is your big three.
Thank you very much, Dawn. All right, 9:30, quick break. We'll come back, get to what's on the cut sheet, part due. Stocker's got all sorts of gems still in the hopper. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Speaking of gems, you think about your kitchen. Is that not your gem of your home? For me, my kitchen is the heart of my home for sure. If your kitchen or bath is outdated, you're tired of those dark, outdated looking cabinets, maybe you need Kitchen Magic. They're local, family owned right here in Pennsylvania, operated since 1979. And their experienced team has transformed more than 60,000 spaces. A dedicated design consultant is going to work with you on your choices for refacing, custom cabinets, the backsplash, the counters, and of course, the tub shower conversion. If you need that bathroom makeover, you're going to get exactly what you want, and it comes with an industry-leading warranty. Right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your remodel. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
We don't mind you coming here either. Just stay here for 4 hours. Kale and Company, as we roll on the Monday edition. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on this beautiful day. Blue skies. Oh, I can't wait to get outside. 70 degrees later this week. Yeah, buddy. 855-839-1210. We'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show in about 15 minutes. Who on Twitter today and today in music history? Kind of a cut sheet part due here for the next couple of minutes. If you're not on YouTube, get on over to YouTube. We have some audio and some video for you. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Donald Trump was right once again. It's remarkable how many times he says something. The mainstream media says, "Whoa, that is very bombastic of you, sir. That's racist. There's no truth to what you're saying." And a couple of years later, he ends up being proven right. I saw this great tweet from the Washington Post, and wokeness perfectly illustrates the absurdity of how the mainstream media will condemn something that is said by Trump, and then only a few years later, usually give it 18 to 24 months, it becomes truth, and they say something to the effect of, yeah, we should probably act on said issue. So this was back in January of 2018, when Donald Trump said that Haiti, the nation, was a s-hole. You can figure out what the word was. And the Washington Post headline on January 12th of 2018 was, "This is how ignorant you have to be to call Haiti a s-hole." And it was written by a columnist for the Washington Post of the name Jonathan Katz, K-A-T-Z. Well, let's see here. 4 years later and 2 months, so 50 months later, headline on the Washington Post just 2 days ago on a Saturday.
Wait, hang on. Before you say that, right now on YouTube, they have the pictures of Haiti is great already. Bill Maher is wearing it. Conan O'Brien, Susan Sarandon. There's a picture of Conan O'Brien on Twitter where this is from 2018.
Yeah, 9 days after Trump said that.
Where he's sipping a fruity drink in the waters in Haiti.
Yes, January 21st.
What a beautiful country Haiti is.
Yep, so they all ran with it. Bill Maher, Conan, everybody, the whole
Conan.
Bit. March 9th, this past Saturday, headline in the Washington Post, "Haitians shot dead in the street and there's no one to take away the corpses."
What?
Yes. And also, we have, now if you're watching on Twitter, or excuse me, on YouTube, there's literally, it looks like a river of trash.
It is a river of trash.
Floating down.
What is that, Port-au-Prince or wherever that is in Haiti? Oh my God.
Does that not look like an asshole to you? I would characterize that as an asshole.
Wow.
Right? I mean, it looks like a stagnant river of trash.
That's what it is.
Flowing between two streets.
Yep.
Okay. So that's,
and people just like, oh my
so
god.
Trump was correct. It is an asshole. And there's dead bodies. People are being executed at point blank range in the streets, and the bodies just drop, and nobody picks them up. It's like a deer carcass on the Schuylkill.
Yep.
Right? Like it just lays there for weeks and weeks and erodes.
Do they not pick them up, or do they eat them?
Well, and sometimes they eat the corpses. And I believe we have, do we have the video or is this audio only? I know there's a video floating around of an individual that was eating human deceased flesh.
What? We have a video of it?
In Haiti. I think I sent that. If I didn't, that's my disgusting. Fault and that's... I dropped the ball. I know I saw the video. If I didn't send it to Phil, that's my fault.
I didn't see that. There's a video of...
Oh. You can find it on Twitter.
So it's like a cannibal gang or something?
Yeah, it's
cool.
Like S-hole Lecter. Cannibal Lecter is basically what it is. So, like, when Trump says these things, or when right-wing conspiracy theorists...
Could he use a different term?
No, please. No, I'm tired of people being hurt by words.
I'm not saying hurt. I'm just saying use words.
I'm not saying you
Trump's
are.
Very combative words. Today.
I know I am.
I like it.
Why?
Because, everybody's got to shape up.
Yes.
Okay? Trump has to sometimes...
Including us? You're being very hostile towards us today.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying you. Well, sometimes, you know... Some of your talking points were off today.
He says it's an asshole. It's what it is. When you go up to somebody and you say out of love, "Hey, you're really starting to look fat." Well, do you have to say fat? Well, how would you like me to characterize it? Pleasantly plump? Does that make you feel better?
Nadine writes, "There's two sides of Port-au-Prince. The S-hole side and the cruise drop-off side."
Oh, okay.
Haiti isn't an S-hole on the cruise drop-off side.
Oh, it's not.
So I'm guessing where
Kale and Company cruise to Haiti?
Well, no, I'm guessing where, you know, the rich, powerful celebrities went, like Conan, was some luxury resort that they have. Say, look how great our country is. Come here, the beautiful waters. On the other side is that... Phil, if you can put up the river of trash again. Literally a river of trash.
Look at that.
YouTube.com/at1210WP.
And by the way, that's not stagnant. That is floating and moving.
Jump on in, kids.
What would it take for you to jump in that? 10 grand?
$10,000.
Would you jump in there for 10 G's?
No.
Right
10
there,
grand?
Right there. There's the curb. You jump in.
Nope.
You float for like 10 seconds, and then you quick swim and get out. Would you do it for 10 grand?
No.
Cold hard
no.
cash?
No. No.
100 grand?
Nope.
You wouldn't do that for 100 grand?
No.
Dude, I would do it for 100 grand in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even hesitate. I wouldn't need a snorkel or goggles.
I wonder if Haitian children are jumping in that.
Probably drinking the water, too.
Well, it's not just like millions of pounds of junk. It's plastic.
Yeah.
We're all the environmentalists. And then it's sewage.
Yep.
Oh.
So this impacts...
Can you imagine the smell?
Ugh. No. So think about the impact. It's such a shame because Haiti used to be just such a beautiful paradise. But this affects all of us.
Dawn will be swinging by Haiti on her way back from Italy.
But this affects all of us. And where are they? Why don't they meet here instead of Davos and figure out how to solve this?
Dawn stands on your fabulous point.
Take of the day.
Yeah, take John Kerry and all the elitist...
Go here.
...assholes. and go there.
Yep. I've got this story in front of me about the corpses from MSN, MSN.com. So Port-au-Prince reached a high of 92 degrees on Friday.
Mm, can you imagine how that trash river smell?
The smell of decaying corpses, human rights activists say, has driven some people from their homes.
Hopefully nobody's eating breakfast.
Others have taken it upon themselves to move or burn the bodies to ash.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Sid wants to know, is the water cleaner than Meatball's tub?
Sid.
Never loot again, stay out of trouble, never go to jail.
Yeah, exactly right. You think anybody's walking around Haiti saying,
"Everybody must eat"?
Well, if they want to eat, there's dead bodies on the street, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
So, Washington Post, 6 years later, coming to grips with what Trump said. Yeah, funny how that works. All right, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in before we get out of here, we've got our morning mystery movie clip winner on the line. We've got Kim. She's in Glen Mills, and she's with us this morning.
I forgot we did that.
I know. We did it like a day ago. Kim, good morning. What movie clip did we play for you?
Chef.
Yeah.
That is correct. Chef Woo! Is the winner, and you've got the pair of passes for the 8th annual Bucks Blues Explosion nice. Coming up in April.
Nice.
Thank you.
You are welcome, Kim. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for playing. Chef, I have no idea what that movie is, to be honest. Did you know that?
No.
I had no idea what that was.
I've never seen that movie.
So Dorenzo came out of the gate with a tough one.
Crafting with Shirley says, I'm sure they don't have a border issue.
No, who would want to? Even the migrants in Mexico wouldn't go across that.
Oh, my God.
That's more of a deterrent than razor wire.
I just love these, like, Conan O'Brien said, oh, it's a beautiful, look at this. Yeah. This the side you're on, that you probably spent $30,000 to stay in that resort.
That you know what this is? That's like Trump coming to Philadelphia. He sees Kensington. He says Philly's an asshole. And then Conan O'Brien takes a vacation on the main line. It's not crappy. But yeah, because you're in the swanky neighborhoods, pal. All right, we'll come back.
Kevin Poole's baked Haitians, yum. Mm.
How do you like your Haitians? I prefer mine grilled.
For people just tuning in, there's...
Medium
there's,
well?
For people just tuning in, there's cannibal gangs in
Awful.
Haiti.
We're
just commenting on...
They're eating other dead corpses.
Now, you know, when you're starving...
Yeah. And you thought Democrats were diabolical.
Yeah. I've heard that in other places like India and stuff, you know, where they have, where dogs kind of just run.
Oh, yeah. Dogs are eating.
Run around. Like when they're hit by a car, like people fight over the carcass.
Oh, yes.
So they can take it home and eat it.
Yeah. I've known that for a long time. Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's keep bringing people like that to this country.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah.
Remember when Trump also said they're letting people out from the insane asylums in prisons? He's right about that as well. You think they're letting out choir boys?
Why would anybody want to go to any of these places? I don't know.
Beyond me.
Yeah.
I'll just stay right here in Montgomery County.
They all want to come here.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history and who won Twitter today on a Monday. Kale and Company, stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Monday morning, as we continue and we find out what she has lined up for the top of the hour.
Yeah, so we'll talk about efforts that are being alleged at the state level as far as Joe Biden's executive orders, what he has signed, and the allegation here that they're using partisans to reach out to people who are not eligible to vote, such as those in prison, to do mail-in voting. So we'll talk about that effort moving forward and the effort to stop this. And that one is certainly very concerning, as we've talked a lot about the new leadership, Lara Trump, within the RNC GOP.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at 10:05, because we talked a lot this morning as well about Northeast High School and the students getting, you know, the counselors there. So Lee Richardson, who runs an incredible brain health. She's a brain health coach, runs a center herself, an expert here. So we'll talk about trauma and what this kind of trauma does to kids. It's long lasting. It's not just a week or a day, that sort of thing. And then moving through the impact on your brain with daylight saving time.
Oh, thank you. Glad you're addressing this.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about a serious issue off the top, but then we'll get into it because everybody, it's kind of a brain fog that it's like takes us a while to get
horrendous.
Reacclimated.
An hour less of my weekend. Just not happy.
Yeah, but it's going to be 7:30 tonight and the sun will still be up.
Which is nice.
Not 7:30. That's later.
Well, that's
okay.
Later.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Keep hope alive.
We're marching towards that.
Damn right. All right. Looking forward to that.
We have a lot coming up.
All right. The Dawn Show in about 7 minutes as we get to a Monday edition of Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Kale and Company.
Today, March 11th. We celebrate the birthdays of Vinnie Paul of Pantera and Mark Stein, the lead singer for Vanilla Fudge. One notable single from today, the Hollies released The Air That I Breathe in 74. A couple of notable albums include the first metal album to hit number one, Quiet Riot's Metal Health,
great album.
And No Rest for the Wicked by Helix, both released in 83. Also, Neil Young's Harvest hit number one in 72.
Yeah.
The Beatles finished filming Help in 65. The Chinese government gave the Stones a list of songs they couldn't perform in the country in 2003. And lastly, on this day in 78, Meatloaf's debut album, Bat Outta Hell, began its record-breaking 416-week run on the UK chart.
Wow.
For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Geez, China was censoring things 21 years ago as well? Who would have thunk it? There you go. By the way, favorite Pantera song for you?
Walk. I mean, you start every morning with I'm Broken.
Yep.
So
I just figured I'd ask. By the way, Pantera, Walk. It's a little Rob Van Dam. Nine people recognize that reference.
Meatloaf, Bat Outta Hell. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
There you go. All right, 9:54. Let's wrap up a Monday with Who Won Twitter Today?
Who won Twitter?
Eric the Red wins Twitter. He says, how the hell could George Stephanopoulos even bring himself to ask Nancy Mace a question and mention rape, considering the cover-up he did for Clinton?
That's a good point. It's a very good point. He could have also dropped in the Nancy Pelosi drop with this.
Please don't bother me with such frivolity.
That's what Nancy Mace should have said to George. And that'll do it for us here on a Monday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is coming up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, as John Fetterman would say.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.